It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We are doing this every Tuesday. They need to come hang out with Mooch and the missus.
That is called fascism. Okay, he is a fascist leader.
He's his own worst enemy. He's creating his own problems. You know, he's like one of those people who can't get out of their own way.
I don't want to be one of those Trump haters.
Okay,
I just want to make...
Everyone is a product of their upbringing and their personal loyalties. I'm a human being, and I probably got overtaken by the excitement of him winning.
The minute you called me to say, boom, as soon as I got that, boom, I called
you
right back.
Anyway, you lose the argument. All the ladies out there...
My mother's like, why are you cursing so much? I'm like, Ma... Where do you think I learned it from?
We do this podcast. I go into the city. We have dinners together or we'll travel. We spend time to be together as a couple and a family and as business partners. And I feel like it really helps us.
You still love me?
I do.
Okay,
do you still love me?
Very much.
Okay, I don't know if you have, let's
very much my
there.
Liberal, hot wife. It's like literally like a set. Yeah, I'm telling you, I hate the goddamn introduction.
It's like every literally.
You didn't like the old one, which
I mean, it's like a literally like I'm watching like a 70s show that my mother's about to get a Swanson's TV dinner out of the goddamn refrigerator and like put it on a tray in front of the TV.
Hungry Man?
Yeah, like a Hungry Man dinner with like that cheap.
And those are good, don't knock
that
it.
Cheap apple crisp in the center and so forth.
Oh,
I mean, I gotta tell you, I'm horrified. I mean, we got stuff going on here. Go ahead, baby. Introduce her.
So just so you know, we started using that 6 weeks ago, and every podcast has started with his critique of the theme song from that point on. It's ridiculous. Anyway, we have a special guest today. I'd like to welcome Lori Ann Larocco, a fellow Italiano. I should say Italiana. A senior editor of Guests at CNBC, yes. One of Anthony's old haunts, right, Ant?
Yeah, I like
CNBC.
Miss it? Yeah, I miss it.
Yeah.
I miss it. Yeah, they got mad at me when I started Wall Street Week, so they stopped letting me go on. But now I'm allowed to go back on. We had dinner with Mark Hoffman.
Yeah, things
out.
Are looking up for him at CNBC.
Yeah, he's a good guest.
Yeah, they let me back on now.
But more importantly, you have just written a book about the trade war, which is something that we would love to discuss because I think everybody has a different opinion on it, and I think most people are in the dark about it. So hopefully you can shed some light on it for us. And we're all going to buy your book.
Yeah.
When does it come out? November 13th, next week.
Yeah, it comes out November 13th.
And I love the subtitle. Trade Wars, Containers Don't Lie, Navigating the Bluster. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So why'd you write this?
I wrote the book because I've been following maritime for several years. And when the trade war started, someone that covers maritime, I know the impact that trade wars can have just based on history.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking at the containers, the tankers, and the cargo. And what I was hearing from both President Xi over in China and what we were hearing from the President of the United States did not add up. And so I started looking more and more in depth, and it dawned on me that more Americans need to know about this because I know where to look. And this is all public information, and the containers don't lie. Trade is agnostic. It doesn't pick winners. It doesn't pick losers. It moves. It's strictly supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
And based when you look at that, you know the truth. And so you know if China's buying or if China is not buying.
Right.
And
we've
heard all that.
And most people don't, this is public info, but most people have no idea, like you said, how to access that info, nor do most people make it their duty to do so.
Exactly.
Because they're busy just trying to live. But this is your interest, this is your passion, your occupation. So you've unveiled a few things that we should all know about as Americans. I mean, in speaking with people, like we have a cousin who owns an auto glass company, and he says, this trade war has put him into a complete mess because he's paying most of the tariffs on his end. They're putting it back on him. So he's the one paying it. So small businesses are suffering also.
And can't pass that on, right?
Yeah. Right. He has
no
one
to, he can't.
He's got to pay it. He's got no one to hand it off to. He's not going to, he's the I can't even talk.
The consumer.
He's a consumer.
The consumer.
Right.
Consumer.
Well, they call it the retailer pinch, because what happens is I called customs, because they're the ones that are in charge of charging the tariff on the incoming items from whatever
right.
country.
They see everything.
Exactly. And
right.
I said, who exactly pays the tariff? Because, you know, we've heard from the president that it's China paying the tariff. According to the U.S. Customs, it is the importer. It is the company that is bringing the items in that pays that tariff.
Correct.
It
right.
is not the country. And
right.
and so what's happening is, when you have these the trade wars, and you know that they're going to be levied on whatever day, sometimes people could either expedite it, because there's different ways to move the cargo. You could do it, you know, like almost like a FedEx of shipping, you know, on the water, if you will, where it only takes
you
14
put it on
days.
A speedboat.
Exactly. it's like it takes like 14 days, 15 days.
Right.
But you pay more money. That's multi-million dollars, right? And then you've got ones that could be 30 days or even longer. And so what happens is, say you're a couple of days out, and you have to make a split second decision. Do I move from the port of LA and move to the port of Houston? They have to do that, and that is a long-term decision.
Mm-hmm.
So if you decide to move your product from one port to another, that product doesn't go back.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ports, everybody is getting messed up, because they're losing specific, you know, containers. And they know from past instances that they're going to never get them back.
Recoup it. So like you said, there's like a massive trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
Like, it's impacting everybody, from the person who's taking it at the port to the person who's consuming it.
Exactly.
Everybody. And I mean, also, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are a lot of people that don't have options. Like the auto glass factories,
yeah.
like, they're very limited.
Yeah.
So they can only get them from China. They can only
exactly.
get that piece from them. So they have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a real bind. I mean, I'm assuming that's accurate with more than one industry.
Oh, let me take the president's side for 1 second, okay? And I want to
sure.
answer your question. So he would say that there's been an asymmetrical imbalance,
yes. mm-hmm.
and that there are heavy tariffs on our goods leaving our ports going to China.
Yes.
And there are less tariffs on Chinese goods.
Yes.
What say you?
It's true. There's a great imbalance in between U.S. manufacturing and China. But the problem is, we haven't made certain things in decades. People don't want to make little widgets or whatever. They want to make more money, or they might think it's beneath them. That's why you have all these day laborers. There's a lot of jobs out there, but the immigrants are the ones that take them. It's not Americans that want to get out into those fields, get dirty. When you're looking at the imbalance when it comes to trade, it's true. But now, when you're looking at with the trade war, China has left us behind, and they have now branched out and expanded their trade with other countries. And that's a long-term
impact. Which is why they're not budging, right?
Exactly. That's why they're not budging.
So see what's happening, honey. 22% of the world's economy is the U.S. China's roughly 22% now. They're roughly as large as we are.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
the disparity is now gone.
Right. Go scram. We're going to go deal with the Europeans and the Central Americans.
Right. So
Americans
we all understand Trump's sentiment with trying to even out the score,
well,
but it's not being done in the right way, right? It seems
it just depends in terms of... It's extremely partisan when you're looking at the approach of what the president's trying to do. In theory, it does work. It makes sense. But remember, the trade war was not just based on tariffs and the tariff, our product going over to China. It was based on IP and IT and IT theft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have really, and that has really kind of whittled away when you saw the Chinese go after the farmers. And they have been in the bullseye since day one.
So tell us a little more about that, because I don't know if everybody
sure.
knows about that.
Sure. So... China's, you know, Xi's not dumb. He knows that the farmers, they're the ones that are voting for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go after a very large segment, and they're very patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Within a stroke of a pen, the whole market was gone. When you talk to soybeans, when you talk about all these ag products. Now, we have heard many, many times that our soybeans are great. They're fantastic. It's the best quality in the whole world. Right?
Okay.
It may be, but there are other countries out there that can supply to China.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Brazil actually started expanding their acreage of soybeans. Same thing with Argentina. For every acre that is expanded outside of the United States, that acre is taken away from the U.S. farmer. Mm-hmm. Because I call it the story of the bean, right? We've got various areas around the world that are harvesting. So, of course, the soybean, they're harvested earlier in the year than ours, just based on the hemispheres, right?
And weather and
exactly.
Climate.
So China can buy more Brazilian soybeans, and they have. And then when they come in to us, they normally buy ours. But what happens is, and what happened in this fall of 2018, they didn't come back to the United States. They continued with Brazil. Now, here's a funny story where back in July of 2019, Mnuchin and Lighthizer were going to China for their round of talks. Yeah. Remember, it was not as long. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, Trump came out saying, we're going to levy the more tariffs in September.
Right.
Little did anyone know, 6 days before that very meeting, China loosened trade restrictions with Russia to import soybeans. And now Chinese farmers can go and harvest soybeans in Russia. They can farm in Russia. What does that tell you? They don't need the soybean.
They kicked us to the curb. Is that what that means?
Yeah. Yeah. Actions speak louder than words. Yeah.
So again, just trying to be objective as possible.
Absolutely.
The president miscalculated then. He thought he had more operating leverage over the Chinese vis-a-vis the way he was moving with the tariffs, and didn't think they were going to do things like you just described, or you didn't think about it much, or what do you think happened?
No, he probably could have gotten this information before he...
Oh, yeah. Well, he had right. The information. He didn't care about it. Why do you think he made that mistake?
Honestly, I don't know.
Because he's impetuous?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not in there. All I know is that when I've researched things before, there's always options. And sometimes you may not get the better option. You want to go for the cheaper chicken, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But when it comes to soybeans and LNG, there are so many other options out there. Russia has done so well with LNG, whereas with us, we're doing very well in terms of expanding, you know, our LNG over in Europe, but nothing compares to the bucket of China. Gene Soroka, who's the head of the Port of LA, mm-hmm. He told me it takes 7 Vietnams to equal one China in terms of export volumes. And
see,
we are down.
Like the doctrine of unintended consequences, because mm-hmm. We tried to help them after the war, and then it's really come down to where we shot ourselves in the foot, because now that we're trying to lever back up and be on the same playing field, they don't need us anymore. So
they don't need us
as
much.
Tough spot. You know what I mean? So I don't know how you leverage or you bargain with somebody.
How do you unwind it? How do you suggest? How do you think it's going to end?
I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like hitting lotto. I mean, in terms of, you know, we're looking at phase one, right? And everyone's talking about this deal. And thankfully now, at least the markets aren't doing this knee-jerk high every time you hear like these little rumblings of things are doing well and then the market goes crazy. You got to put it into perspective, because it's what you've already lost. For example, if phase one comes out, okay, and they sign it, one of the key things is agriculture, right? And you heard the $40 to $50 billion number, right? Mm-hmm. That's what China's going to be buying. Well, if you go back and you look at the 2 years before the trade war hit, China purchased from ag business, because remember they're saying ag business, not just soybeans. They purchased just under $50 billion in 2 years. So for phase one...
See that, babe?
For phase one, if China does not buy $50 billion. It's got to be $50 billion. Anything less...
Just to be on par with where it was.
Just to make a snippet of a win.
Right.
Anything below $50 billion is a loss.
So we're losing this trade war right now.
We have in many instances, because you can't make up what you already lost. Like, you know, they're already down like $15 billion in a hole.
The Chinese damage the farmers, surgical and strategic.
Yeah.
Are the farmers with Trump, or are they departing from Trump now?
It depends on who you talk to and who you talk to off the record or on the record. I think what's going to happen, and you know this, we when it comes to politics, when you're in that booth, you're going to have to make that decision.
One year from today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
So it just really depends on in terms of what they're going to do. I've had some farmers like Christopher Gibbs. He's a farmer out in Ohio. He voted for Trump, and he's not going to. Right. He's like, you've destroyed my business. Mm-hmm. But then there are some that are saying, well, who else are we going to have? Like, who's the alternative? Who's the Democratic alternative?
Right. Like, you know, who's going to be their advocate if there's one at all? I know they're in a tough position.
They are.
We all are.
Yeah. So it just really depends. But they've been smacked, and they've already lost so much. If you really wanted to make it a win, the administration would have to say, okay, China, you need to buy $65 billion, because you want to add in what they lost.
But why would China do that?
Exactly.
They don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah, they don't have to.
Right.
And it really depends on if we do go forward with phase one, is there an out clause in that phase one for the United States? If China goes back on anything, and if China does not move forward at a fast pace for phase two. So you have to see, it's in the details. Like, are they going to do certain things?
So in everything you now know, all the mm-hmm. research you did on this,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you a couple of yes or no questions.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the United States, 5 years from now, we're going to be at a disadvantage and have less leverage over China?
Depends on how long it goes. I think so, because the trade has changed. Trade has permanently changed. Yes.
So 5 years from now, people will look back on this and then say the Trump trade war plan worked or didn't work. Trump said that trade wars were easy to win. Are they easy to win?
No.
Oh, absolutely not. See, this is the thing. I haven't done any research on this at all, but just from the general climate and how things feel to me as an American, I don't think we have the same standing that we used to have at all in terms of trade or just in general. I think other countries are getting smart. There's new technology, and I think that they're progressing. They're not waiting on us. I mean, I think people depend on us for aid and funding for many things, but in terms of intelligence and upgrading their own systems and figuring out other ways to do things without us, I feel like they're doing that. So that's my personal opinion.
So Trump has hurt us in this trade war.
In terms of certain sectors,
yes.
There have been some that have been hurt, and they're not going to come back.
Not going to come back.
So what are other industries that have been damaged? So you did a lot of research on farming, but
yeah.
Like, I know people that make toys have had issues, or people even in the garment industry. I mean, it's kind of impacted a lot of different areas of life.
Over 90% of what is in your home comes on a ship.
Right.
So,
which I understand that
it's a lot,
which is also crazy to think about. Like, we should be able to make our own things, you know, but at the same point, that's not reality. So we have to deal with reality. He's dealing with unreality. He's thinking back to a different time. We're not going to be able to go back to when we made everything here. You know,
we can't because manufacturing A doesn't want to. Casabella Cleaners, mm-hmm. the founder, who I've had on CNBC, he's also in the book. He was telling me he can't get a manufacturing company here in the United States to bristle his broom. He has to have his brooms bristled in China. And now, and I guess there's like a special technology.
Angry, though? I feel like, what's wrong with Americans? No. Are they lazy or they think things are beneath them?
There's not enough market opportunity, because he was trying to explain it to me. Like, there are certain companies that I guess will, you know, set up shop and do their thing for their own line, but they're not going to set
outsource
additional clients come in with their special broom. So now he's also looking at possibly moving back to Italy to see maybe if they can bristle the brooms. But even the IP technology of bristling brooms is something you have to think of.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the president could do, let's say today he got off the ego-based positional bargaining and said, okay, here's the strategy, could fix this, and if he could, what would that strategy be?
Ooh. I mean, you can't make up for what's lost. If you're going to have a deal, and from the hardliners of Trump, what will be considered a win is if IP theft and IT are addressed. Because even the farmers that we speak with say, if you don't get that, what the heck are we doing for the last almost 2 years.
Okay, so let's explain that to our listeners. So IP is intellectual property.
Intellectual property and then technology.
Technology. And so what's basically happened has been a lot of piracy of our ideas.
Yes.
So the Chinese have taken the blueprint of the iPhone and they've knocked it off in China.
But what have they stolen in terms of agriculture?
No, nothing. It's just that it's Trump's base. It's part of his base.
Right.
Yeah,
so
you're linking the two. I think Deirdre was asking, was there a linkage between the IP?
Right.
And
so they
the
haven't.
Yeah.
No. So that's separate.
But
right?
that's why the farmers are saying because Mr. Trump, you went to wage war with China, which they think is correct. They're like, listen, they're robbing us blind. They're taking our technology. We're with you.
Right.
But now we're suffering. We've been lumped in.
Right.
And so what are you going to do about it? And they said, okay, fine, we'll be patriots. We'll take it on the chin. We'll take the bailout money, which really doesn't, you know, help them overall with their losses. But if Trump does not get a solid win on IT and intellectual property, the farmers are not going to be happy because they're like, some have gone bankrupt. You know, some of them, you know, they can't provide for them.
By the way, if you're a farmer, that's basically what you do.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're like, oh, I'm just going to go work somewhere else. Because, no, that's your life. You live that job, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't have that many options. So I can see their back is against the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a documentary. It was about farmers, truckers, and there were bikers on it. And they had all voted for Trump initially in 2016. And none of them are going to vote for him anymore because they've all lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's considered his base. And but a lot of them are like, they just can't be because they can't bring themselves to vote for him because they've all lost their jobs. And they feel like they've nowhere to turn.
You think Trump wins re-election?
It really depends on who the Democrat is.
Yeah.
If you really have a far left that scares a lot of people, I think it's an automatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he survives the impeachment inquiry, I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree with
it's
you.
It's all about who is running.
Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, he schmeissed them.
Yeah.
People don't want that, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
So you are juggling a lot. You've written 5 books. You work at CNBC.
You have many children.
You have a hubby here at our beloved radio station.
CBS.
We like everything about the radio station, Neil, but our introduction to Mooch and the Misses.
Oh, my God. Okay. How many kids do you have? You have three?
I have three.
Three, okay.
I have three.
So how do you do it? How are you juggling all that?
It's called keeping alive. I mean, you're a mom.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if people aren't bloody on the floor, I think you've done your job that day. You know?
I know. I just took our kids to the museum before this, and I left them screaming and crying, and I was like, wow, that was a disaster.
Yeah.
Never again. Moving on. Yeah. But they're all still intact, and so...
They're all still alive, and, you know, the oldest just went off to college, so that's like
ages.
A whole thing.
Give us the ages.
18, 15, and 13.
And so where's the oldest going to college?
He's going to Ramapo.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's going there for music.
Right.
And then my other one, my second son wants to be a neurosurgeon.
Oh, nice.
And then my daughter
writes... He can work
on
Anthony.
Exactly.
A lot of work, though.
You know, that's why you have multiple kids, because someone's got to take care of you.
Somebody's
got to
do it, yeah.
My father had brain surgery. It was successful. My mother said, of course it was. They opened up the skull. There was no brain. They just took the tumor out.
You have a girl?
I do. My daughter is my youngest, and she wants to be a professional equestrian. She rides horses.
Okay, so just so you know... I mean, it could be different in your family, but I'm the youngest of three, and I have two older brothers, and I'm the one that takes care of my parents. So. Just saying.
I know. Oh. I'm Abby, my daughter, is
How cute.
Very tender.
I'm seeing a picture of her right now.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
When you left college?
Yeah.
What was your first job?
I was. I worked at News 12 Long Island. I was an assignment editor.
Okay,
and then
so you always wanted to be in this then?
Oh, yeah, I've been in news, yeah. I graduated college a year early so I could start.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know.
Were you in Woodbury then, right? Right off of exit 35?
Yes. News 12 is right out there.
Yeah, I've been to that studio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I've lived all over. You know,
are you a Long Islander?
I'm from Long Island. Yeah, I'm from Holbrook.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
We live on Long Island. Yeah.
You live where
Anthony's
now? Jersey?
I live in West Milford, New Jersey,
Almost,
up in the mountains. Up in the mountains.
Close angle with cliffs.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it makes my life a lot easier.
Yeah. And yeah. Ramapo College is in Jersey also.
Yes,
right?
It is. It's only 30 miles from my house.
Yeah, didn't you go to Ramapo High?
Yeah, I went to Ramapo High School.
Oh, so cool.
Not associated with Ramapo College.
Yeah.
Just the same bunch of American Indians. They stole the name from them.
Do you like Deirdre's nose job? It came out pretty good.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just asking, do you think?
Oh, I mean, lovely.
When it's less swollen, you can tell me if you really like it.
Yesterday, she was at the doctor. They're taking the splint off, and she's like, yeah, I've been Instagramming everybody with the splint. I mean, either people think you got a nose job or you're a battered wife.
Yeah, I was going to say,
like,
yeah.
Well, no, because the doctor said, oh, well, you know, you can come out of hiding in like however many weeks. And I'm like, you know, when you have kids, you can't hide.
There was
Halloween,
no
there was this, yeah, there was that. No. I was like, hey, this is me. I have this splint.
She,
and this
she went as Jason from Friday the 13th.
No, I didn't.
She had the hockey mask on.
Oh, jeez. No, I would have been a boxer.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I would have been a boxer.
I just said Anthony got mad at me that the night before. So, but
it's
no, just kidding.
And people believed it.
No.
Oh, jeez.
That wouldn't hurt a fly.
Anyway, moms can't stop. Even when they do get their nose broken and rebuilt. So
you're in the media. I got to ask this question. Okay, mm-hmm. So survey, children ages 8 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
They found that half of the children in the United States now own a smartphone by age 11.
Tim Apple.
Do your kids have
is that a good idea?
Your older ones. Does Abby have one?
Yeah, Abby has one. Well, a lot of times, I mean, we were pretty late in the game. Like when Nicholas, my oldest, he's 18 now. We held off until he was in sixth grade.
Our Nicholas has had a phone since he was age two, right?
No, he just uses mine.
We waited until sixth grade.
Yeah.
Just so when they were getting off the bus, like we would know. And then with the Life 360 app, I love that app.
So what is that? So they what is that?
It is the best ever.
What is it?
It's a free app. And so you literally can track your loved ones on your phone. It takes, you know, it's like a GPS thing.
I'm putting that
and
on Anthony's phone tonight.
When the kids are driving, and this is what we did when Nick started driving, you pay X amount a month. It tells you how fast they're driving, tells you if they're texting, if they're, you know, hard braking, everything. It is the best ever. So we'll know, like, we'll look at the campus, like, all right, is Nick up yet for his 8 a.m. class?
But
so
I
you're
feel
watching.
Like, do you get, like, obsessively, like...
No.
Like wanting to make sure he's doing the right thing all the time.
Sometimes,
I feel like I would be micromanaging him.
At first, when he first went away, I was a little insane.
Yeah.
But now I've kind of dialed back. But
yeah,
it's good.
Who could sustain that, right?
It's too much. No. But what I really love about it is that my husband's on the air until 7. And so, like last night, his commute, he didn't get home until, geez Louise, like 8:45 at night.
Yeah,
so I can see where he is, so if I can get his dinner ready. So that way he has, like, so it's hot.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, well, I like to bake and cook. And
me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good stress reliever.
Me too.
Yeah.
I know my mom always says to me, like, you like to do that? Like, I love baking.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm, like, so relaxed. And it's, like, I love having a finished product that everyone wants.
Yeah. Right? And I like to clean, too. It drives them nuts because I'm really insane about my floors.
Well, I like to clean, but I like to bake more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I
love it.
OCD runs deep. Cooking, cleaning. So it's embedded in all of that.
What's your birth sign?
I am Gemini.
Gemini. So you got two people in there or what?
I'm very, insane and more insane. So,
you sure your last name's not Scaramucci?
I mean, I'm Sicilian, so it's
right,
like,
well,
you know.
I got you.
Mach 10.
You're fiery.
Very.
Mach 10. Yeah.
All right, so your kids all have phones then?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting, because I'm okay with the phones. Are you okay with the phones? I'm okay with it. I think it's part of it now.
I'm fine with the phone. The one thing that I don't like, but it doesn't matter because they use my device, right?
Okay.
But the thing that I don't like is when they ignore human contact for the device. Like, when I'm talking to them, especially our 5-year-old, and he doesn't respond to me, I said to him today, specifically, the phone is not going to feed, bathe, hug, or love you, so you should probably respond to me or your grandmother or your dad or whoever's talking to you.
Exactly.
Because it's rude and it's a device, you know? So I don't like that. I like when people, you know, put the phone down and they greet. My kids need to greet you if you come in. So that's my one thing about it.
It's the social skills.
Makes them rude.
Yeah. It's the lack of social skills.
Yeah.
And they're awkward. Like,
yeah,
you know, like people that are always on their phones.
Yeah.
They don't know how to. They don't even know how to.
I love to get into an elevator yeah. and say hi to people. And they're like, I think they panic and they're like, do I know her? Or like, yeah. why is she talking
it's
to
me? It's like call being friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it's a new concept.
Try it, right?
Exactly.
Not to change subjects, but I'm curious because you said you're Sicilian.
Yeah.
Do you do the seven fishes on Christmas Eve?
I do my own version.
Okay.
Just because I don't have a lot of fish levels.
You have the,
Oh, yeah. No. I make my crepe canapé. I make a zuppa de peche.
The Irish believe the seven varieties of Pepperidge Farm crackers, that's their seven fishes. You ever see that? I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, my husband is Irish, but no. But it's funny because he doesn't like fish. He doesn't like fish, but he'll eat fish sticks. I don't.
What?
After all these years,
fix anything,
that's like my
right?
5-year old.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And my
Deidre
first
tells my 5-year old it's chicken. He's like eating it.
Yeah,
she told
I
him
lie,
it was fish. He's like spitting it out.
It's chicken fingers, but it's fish sticks, and he eats it.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Hope he doesn't listen.
No.
He's 5. He's I guess like fried breadcrumbs can mask any taste. So if he doesn't like fish, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Maybe it's a consistency. I don't get it because then if I make fish, like I make salmon for Declan, my other son, he's really into the protein. He likes to work out. He's like, he comes home and Mike's like, oh, you know, because he'll smell the fish in the house. I'm like, dude, it's not like
I know
napalm,
he's like that
you know?
Too. He does it every time he comes in the door. If it's not, he's like opening all the windows and everything. Yeah. What'd you guys have in here? I'm like, okay, it's called fish.
Marinating. Like, oh my God, that's just brutal. I mean, you put two Italian women in the room.
Yeah,
they're like knocking
like,
my head.
Just be happy I cook something.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, yeah.
So
anyway.
So before we let you go, let's talk about Christmas.
Sure.
Coming up, the trade war.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt the consumption at Christmas, right? Or no? Or is it going to be okay?
It really depends on what the product is. They've already front-loaded. Between you and me, how many flat-screen TVs does one family need? I mean, seriously, you've got like thousands of people that line up every year for a flat-screen TV. I'm like, haven't you had one yet? So, I mean, we've seen some numbers, and, you know, those look pretty good. The port in terms of imports coming in from China, they have been down the last couple of months. I don't know if that's tariff related or just because maybe there was so much front loading the year before that you don't need as many Christmas lights because everyone front loaded them last year.
In anticipation of this?
Because Christmas lights was one of the first items that was tariffed.
Can you imagine if we didn't, if no one, it would just be like a dark Christmas if no one had lights?
Well, I'm telling you, you're Italian, your meats and cheeses are going to be more money because of the EU tariff, the specialty. We have a multitude of trade wars, not just China. You know, we're in the EU trade war right now. And so olive oil, Parmigiano Reggiano.
Oh, my God. That's like my life bread.
Even though we'd all agree that we need to create more trade symmetry, our strategy really hasn't worked.
It hasn't worked yet. Based on the containers, we're not winning. That's the whole thing. Based on the flow of trade, based on, you know, we haven't gained anything. Like, what have we gained? Like, we are getting, and what the sad thing is, like, we're kicking butt with, like, LNG, right? We're expanding into Europe. Mm-hmm. That's great, right? Mm-hmm. It's taking the stranglehold away from Russia. But then Russia thumbs their nose at us and says, I don't care. I'm teaming up with China.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
so
why
where's the win?
Trump is like, so crazy. He thinks that Putin's his friend. Meanwhile, like, you're kissing his ass, sorry. And then he's going behind your back and rearranging everything, you know, to his liking.
Trump is crazy.
We're like foolish.
You have a pipeline being built from Russia to China. You've got Japan allowing.
Like besties.
Yeah. You've got Japan now allowing storage of LNG over to Japan. Now, common sense would tell you that if you're going to ship, say, LNG from Japan to China, it's a lot cheaper than schlepping it from the United States.
Right. Just because
from the distance.
The geographic nature.
So when you're looking at the flow of trade, it has just drastically altered.
Oh my God.
And it won't go back.
Russia's playing us like a fiddle. You know that?
They've done well.
I'm shaking my head because there were so many smart people on the transition. There were so many smart people in the economic team that recommended a different strategy and recommended gradualism. And recommended ways to avoid the farmer situation that we're currently dealing with, the factory situation for certain isolated industries like the windshields, and so on and so forth. And what we did is we built the post-World War II trading architecture to help the rest of mankind because we were the single manufacturing superpower at that moment, and we needed to help others. Mm-hmm. well, we just let it go for too long. And now it's going to be very hard to pull it all back in.
It's going to be exceptionally hard. And, you know, you were mentioning you were going to go up to New England. Talked to a couple of lobster fishermen and the fisherwomen. They have held back buying new lobster traps.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Because of the price right. of steel, the right. price of aluminum. It's right. a trickle-down effect. So they're just fixing their stuff. So the trap makers are getting smacked.
Yeah.
So, and that all equals to jobs.
Yeah.
And, amazing. You know, it's like everybody, no matter what industry that you're in, mm-hmm. somehow you're going to be affected.
So your book is out on the 13th.
Yes. Yeah, so people are going to have Thanksgiving
reading.
It is
number one in its category. Congratulations.
Thank
You're getting
you.
A tremendous buzz about
Thank
the...
You can pre-order it, right?
Yes, on you can. Yeah, you can pre-order. Yeah, you can pre-order.
And it's, I can say that it's written in very easy to understand language. You can pick up the book if you are interested in what is going on in the global economy and you have want a sense for where America really is as opposed to a lot of the disinformation that's out there. We can pick up your book, and if you go through Lorianne's book, you'll find that it's a very comprehensive, easy to understand, and I enjoyed it. I think it was a terrific book, so I
Thank
wish you.
You
great success with it, and we're very happy to have you on our podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate
and
it.
Thank you
for being
here.
We're going to play the 70s music on the way out.
I like it. I think you need like a wide collar.
Babe, can you pass me some of that
polyester bell bottoms?
Stop eating the Hungry Man
Brady
fried
Green.
Chicken.
Yes. Brady Orange.
Some
Brady
orange.
Green.
Yeah.
Babe, stop.
Big flowers.
That'd be hot.
Please
Check.
Pass
Definitely.
Me that last drumstick of Swanson frozen food, please. Pass it over you.
All right. Go order. Go order Lorianne's book
See
on
See you
Amazon.
Next Tuesday. That's my favorite day.
Trade war. Containers
See you
don't
next
lie.
Tuesday.
Like that.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.